Jesus. Hallelujah. It is such an honor to be before you today. And I do not take this honor lightly to stand before the saints of the Most High God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This week, the Lord has really been dealing with my heart. For his lost sheep. I want to talk to you today about that. If we'll go before the Lord with me. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We praise you. We adore you, Lord God. We honor your presence that is here with us today. Thank you, Jesus. Let your spirit wash over our hearts. Prepare our hearts for your word, Lord God, that we would break up the fallow ground. Lord Jesus, that we would remove the rocks, that we would remove the weeds, Lord Jesus, and that we would prepare our hearts to receive your word, Lord God, that it may be planted deep in our hearts to create root and to produce fruit in our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I submit myself to you right now, Lord, as a living sacrifice, Lord Jesus, that no flesh would glory in your presence. Lord God, that I would be your vessel, Lord Jesus, and that your saints, Lord God, would prepare themselves for the word. Lord Jesus, let your will be done in this service. Lord God, that you are reaching, you are calling for your people, Lord Jesus. Let your word go forth, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you will turn with me to Luke 15, what I have to tell you isn't much. It's pretty simple, but I believe that the Lord wanted you all to hear it this morning. And I had a lot of reasons to tell God, no, you know, I don't think I want to do that. But the Lord has spoken to my heart, and he said, daughter, I'm not calling you to be perfect. You don't have to do it perfect. I'm asking you to be obedient. So I stand before you today to be obedient, not to be perfect. Because I know that I won't deliver it perfectly. I don't have the wisdom of pastor, and I don't have the eloquence of assistant pastor Chris, but I will be me, and I will do what I can to be obedient to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you have Luke 15, we'll start at verse number 3. And you are very familiar with this passage. And it says, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 90 and the 9 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. And I would like to have you use your imagination with me today. If you can imagine, I'm with children all day long. So I'm used to seeing children's imagination, and I love it. And the Bible says that we are to humble ourselves as a little child, for the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so I want you all, if you would, with me, to turn on your imagination. You may not have used it in a long time, maybe a bit rusty, so bear with me. Come with me on this journey. And I want you to picture this scene with me. I want you to see it. I want you to feel what it's like, right? I want you to picture the rolling hills, green, lush grass, a bubbling brook in the distance. I want you to see the sheep covering the hillside, laying down, resting, the little lambs jumping awkwardly, and I want you to see the shepherd standing there, watching over his sheep with his rod and with his staff to comfort and to protect them. And he's watching, and his eyes are wandering. And the sheep, they're naturally drawn to stay together as a flock. It's part of their instinct. So they're following each other around. And the shepherd is leading them. Look, here's the brook. Come, drink from the stream, my lambs. And he's counting them. And he knows them. He knows them all intimately because he's with them so much. And as his eyes are looking over, and he's looking at his sheep, and he's numbering them in his head. And all of a sudden, there's a tinge of concern. did he count wrong? Well, he'll look again. And he goes and he walks around the perimeter of his flock. He's like, I know they were here. And all of a sudden, dread fills his heart. Because he realized that one is lost. That one of his sheep has wandered away. And the shepherd, he cares so much for that one sheep that now he's like, I've got to find it. I've got to find my sheep. Now these 99, they're safe. They're safe in the meadow. They're safe by the stream. And maybe he even gets a friend, a neighbor, please, would you stay with my sheep? I have a journey to go on. I have a mission. One of my sheep is lost. Now I want you to pause the scene there. Pause your imagination there for a minute, and let's analyze the three characters that are in this story. The first, we have this shepherd, and his purpose, his function, is to herd the sheep, which is in twofold, that he keeps them in together as the flock, but then he also guides them and he leads them. And then the third thing is that he's there to protect them, right? He gives them leadership, guidance, and protection. And then there's the sheep. And by nature, they're really fearful animals. They're skittish. They scare very easily because they're animals of prey. And they really have no means of protecting themselves. The best that they have is that they can run away or they can stick together. They come together as a way of protecting themselves, but they really have nothing that they can defend themselves. They don't have horns. They can't fight. And so they tend to be very skittish and very much want to stay together and follow each other. They have a very strong instinct to follow the sheep in front of them. It's how God created them and wired them. And so then why, with all of this instinct for them to stay together, to follow each other, why is it that so often they wander astray? And so I began to analyze this, and I began to search sheep and their behavior, and I found 8 reasons why sheep have a tendency to wander away. Now, the first one is because they sensed something. Their eyes, they're on the side of their head, and so their vision isn't very clear in the front, and they have very keen hearing. And so sometimes, because they can't always see clearly what's in front of them, and they can't see behind, but they're seeing all around, sometimes they can become scared very easily. So maybe something, they sensed something and it scared them and it caused them to run off. Or maybe they were following another sheep. They have such a strong instinct. Maybe there was one sheep in front of them that happened to wander off this way and they followed them. Or maybe it was the whole flock that had wandered away. And well, I've got to stay with my flock. And they just have this need to just stay together and they'll follow the whole flock off. Or maybe it is because an actual predator was there and was after them and they were running away from the threat. Or maybe they lost their shepherd. Or maybe they saw something interesting. Remember that their eyes are on the side of their head. So if they see something in front of them, in order to actually see it clearly, they have to go off and they have to get very close to it to examine it. And then maybe they needed more personal space. And as I was reading that, I'm like, what? Why do sheep need personal space? But they say that it's called their flight zone. If they're calm, then that flight zone is very small and they can be very close to each other. But if they're feeling agitated and upset and they feel the urge that they might need to run, they give themselves space because if something actually is going to try and chase them, they don't want to be running into each other. And so they naturally have this need for space when they're feeling agitated. And then the last one is that they just weren't walking straight. Apparently, sheep don't walk straight because they can't see like very clearly in front with their eyes on the side. They'll like be looking this way. Oh, like what's over here? Oh, wait, what's over here? And they'll just be meandering about. And most of the time, that's no problem. But if they meander one way too long, they might think they're walking straight, but really they're veering off until they get so far that they lose the flock. And I want to take you now and switch over here into the spiritual application of this parable, right? So we have these three elements. We have the shepherd, and I think that's pretty obvious that that's Christ, right? The Bible says that in John 10:11, it says that I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Psalms 23:1, and this I love Psalms 23:1 because this really gives you the imagery, right? The imagery that the imagination that we were painting earlier. It says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. means we won't have need of anything, right? He's supplying it. That he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That the Lord is our good shepherd, the one that is leading us and guiding us and protecting us. But there's another element of the shepherd. There is also our pastor. I want you to picture our pastor now as the shepherd, because the Lord has placed him as the shepherd over this flock and has likewise equipped him with what he needs to lead, to guide, and to protect. And just as the shepherd had his staff and the rod and the staff, I believe that God has equipped our pastor with knowledge and discernment. Hosea 4:6 says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, that knowledge is the antidote to perishing, right? To being destroyed. And I don't think any of us would dispute the fact that the Lord has given our pastor abundant knowledge. And it is that knowledge, when we follow, that it can keep us from being destroyed. And he has given our pastor discernment to know how to lead us and how to guide us to where the Lord is calling us to go. And then I want us to picture this flock of sheep. And the Bible says in Psalms 95:7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. That we are the sheep, that we are that flock. And I thought it was very interesting to study sheep and their innate need for each other, their need to flock together, their need to follow each other, that it's so interesting that they have such this need. And as I was analyzing it, so do we. We have this great need for each other, that there is research that shows that connection with other people is physically good for your health. For your health, your physical body, your well-being, that they found that it does three things. It strengthens our immune system, it helps us live longer, and it reduces anxiety and depression. All from connecting with other people. And that the lack of connection is worse for your health comparatively than smoking, obesity, and high blood pressure. That it is literally detrimental to your physical well-being when you isolate yourself from other people. And that it is said that the lack of social connection can literally kill us. That a study was done out of Brigham Young University that concluded that social isolation increases your risk of death by 32%. We have such a need for each other, and I thought it was so fitting that the Lord spoke to Sister Brownie's heart last week to sing the song, I Need You to Survive. I need you, you need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me, agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is his will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. That we need each other on a very physical level. Ecclesiastes 4. 9 through 12 says it this way, that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That even God in Genesis said to Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. That he needed a helpmeet right, that we need each other, that it is better for us to be together. And Deuteronomy 32:30 tells us that one can chase 1,000, but do you remember how many two? 10,000. It's not like, well, you know, one can chase 1,000, so you just double that, 2,000. No, it's an exponential growth when we are together, right? And Psalms 133:1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Thank you, Jesus. And 1 Corinthians 1:10 says that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together as in the same mind and in the same judgment. Thank you, Jesus. And Hosea 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, right? Can you get that one? I want to read the rest of that. Hebrews 10:25. Because especially, I mean, you know, with COVID, I feel like there was so, we ended up becoming so distant, and that there's such a need now for us to come back, that it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, look here, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. That day is approaching. The day of the Lord, the return of the Lord is approaching, and so much the more we need to come together. We need to fellowship together and commune together. There's also spiritual strength in numbers, not just this physical, but spiritual, because Matthew 18:19 says, and again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We are supposed to be so united that literally we are like one body, right? That's what it says in 1 Corinthians. And I love how Paul puts it. If you'll go to 1 Corinthians 12, I love how he says this. And again, okay, we're going back to our imagination here, right? Flip on your imagination, because I want you to picture what Paul is saying. He says, for as the body is one and hath many members, right, many parts, and all the parts or all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Jump down to 14, for the body is not one member, right? If you looked at a body, if it had just like one body part, like just picture one big body part, that'd be really weird, right? Like, no, that's not right, right? But there's many. And 15 here, I love this. Okay, remember, turn on your imagination here. And if the foot shall say, right? So this is a foot and it's speaking to you now, right? So picture a big foot with a mouth. And the foot is saying, well, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole, okay, sorry, I missed. And if the ear says, okay, so now picture this big ear, and this big ear is talking to you. Well, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, right? Picture now one big eye, and that's all you were, just one big eye. Well, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body, right? If all there was pastor, there'd be no body, right? Well, you can't have a body with just one big head. It couldn't walk, it couldn't move, right? We can't just have pastor. We can't just have the praise team. If there was just someone up here singing, but there were no saints, where's the worship, right? Well, they're ushering in the presence of the Lord. We can't just have a singer, right? We need every single one of us. We are all important. And it says, but now are they many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, well, I have no need of thee. Nor, okay, picture this, right? Picture the eye. Right, picture this big old eye talking to your hand, I don't need you. Right, that'd be silly. Nor again can the head say to the feet, I don't have need of you. Right, skip down to 25, and it says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. We can't be all like, oh, well, I am the hand. I don't need you. You lowly foot down there, I don't need you. Right? We can't do that. And we can't go from the other saying, well, oh, I'm just the foot. I'm not the hand. I can't do what the hand does. No, God created you to be you, right? That's why I started by saying, you know what? I can't. I don't have the knowledge of pastor, the wisdom of pastor, and I don't have the eloquence of assistant pastor Chris, but I am me, and that's who God is asking me to be. And it goes on to say in 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. That now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, that we are supposed to feel each other's pain. And we are supposed to rejoice with each other when we're happy, when we're rejoicing, right? And I think of it this way, that if all of a sudden you lose feeling in your hand, it's like spiritual leprosy, right? Leprosy is a bacterial disease that damages the nerves that you can't feel, primarily in the hands and the feet, and it can be elsewhere, but that's why they end up losing limbs, right? Because they can't feel it anymore, right? Well, that's what happens with us as a body when we can't feel each other's pain, right? If I put my hand on a hot stove, my hand will instantly send a message to my brain, this hurts, please, this hurts. And my brain will instantly say, well, lift your hand, like lift it up, stop touching it, right? But if we lose that connection with the head, we lose our ability to remove ourselves from that, right? And we put ourselves at risk of keeping ourselves in a dangerous, hurtful circumstance that will ultimately lead to death. Because if my hand was on a hot stove long enough, I wouldn't have that hand anymore. And this leads us now to the lost sheep. The sheep that wander away. The members in the body that we can no longer feel. That have detached themselves from the head. And I would like to go over that list that we went through earlier of why do sheep leave? I mean, they have such an instinct to stay together. We have such a need for each other. Why? Why do we leave? The Bible says in Isaiah 53:6 that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now I want to go through these. So first of all, I want you to remember the sheep's eyes, right? Their eyes are on the side of their head, so they can't see too clearly. And a lot of times when they're walking, right, they're kind of wandering this way and wandering that way. And I feel like we can do the same, that instead of looking ahead, looking at Jesus, looking at heaven, I mean, I think of the... If you guys haven't read Pilgrim's Progress, I really recommend it. Because the whole time, the way that Pilgrim, Chris, his name turned to Christian, the way he was able to go on his journey is he had to keep the light of the celestial city in front of him. He couldn't see the city, but he saw the light. And he had to keep that light in front of him. But when we lose our focus on where we should be heading, right, and our eyes just avert us, oh, what's over here? Oh, man. The cares of this life, they're just so hard. Oh, they've got these bills, or I don't know, this thing over here, like it looks pretty nice. I might just want to go try this. Like the Bible says, right, that we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed, and oh, this over here, I mean, it just looks so good. We are drawn away by the cares of this life, by the lust of other things, and we forget where we're going. And we wander off. And then there's the part of a predator, right? Sheep are prey. So there's always predators after them. Well, there's predators after us too. The Bible says that Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he's going to send any attack he can to chase you away. And a lot of times, that might be persecution. That might be that you feel uncomfortable. That someone makes you feel uncomfortable for being a Christian, that sometimes you may have to suffer for being a Christian, right? That the Bible says that, sorry, Running away, God. Thank you, Jesus. Here it is. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That yay. Yay, Jesus. The 2 Timothy 3:12. I told you I wasn't going to be perfect. That's okay. That's okay. And yay, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 1 Peter 4:16 says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on this behalf. Romans 8:18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That suffering, it doesn't feel good. But the Bible says that Jesus was able to endure the cross. Why? Do you remember? For the joy. For the joy that was set before him. Right? Even the disciples, it blows me away. They were beaten for Christ. They were locked in jail, bloody and broken. And do you remember what they were doing? They were praising God. They were singing. They were so happy. What? Why? Because they suffered with Christ. Right? Don't allow Satan to chase you off with persecution. Right? And then the other thing is that sheep have a tendency to follow each other. Well, so do we, right? We have a tendency maybe to hang with the wrong crowd, to get connected to the wrong person. We have a natural tendency to follow. So, you know, our buddy over here, well, yeah, they're going that way. I guess I'll just go on this way too, right? Or, well, this group, right? I mean, they said maybe the whole flock left. Well, not this flock, but maybe you join yourself to another flock. Well, this whole group over here, they're going this way. And so, yeah, I gotta go that way too because I got to fit in. Got to do what they're doing, right? The Bible says this, though, in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We need to watch who we're following. We need to watch what flock we are coming together with, because they have a tendency to lead you astray. And then we come to, well, I just need some personal space here, right? Like, I'm feeling agitated. I need my flight zone in case I need to get on out of here, and I need y'all to give me space, right? That there are times that we get offended, right? There are times that someone, they just rub me the wrong way. I'm sorry, I need my personal space from that individual. I can't be with you right now, right? And unfortunately, sometimes people in the church are the ones that hurt you. There are some times that we as the body are not taking care of each other. And I think that's why it is so damaging when it is one of your brothers and one of your sisters that betrays you. Because out of anyone, we need to care for each other. We need to stick together. And it's when we're not treating each other the way we're supposed to, when we might be walking into church, oh, look what she's got on. I don't like those shoes. Yeah, you know, or, you know, that person just gets on my nerves. Whatever, like, or, you know, we need to come together. Hypocrisy is one of the things that makes people leave the church, honestly. Right? It's us coming in here. Oh, praise the Lord. It is so good to see you. Oh, no, it is not. Right? Hypocritical sometimes. We got to stop that. And then there are sheep without a shepherd. Now, in this situation, we have a shepherd. We have, not only do we have Christ as our chief shepherd, but God has given us a really good shepherd over this flock. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13, 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. That God has equipped our pastor to lead us, to guide us, and to protect us, but it is up to us to submit ourselves under that authority, to allow him to do those things for us. We need to follow our shepherd. We need to hear his voice. The Bible says that my sheep know my voice. That sometimes, not only is it our pastor that we're not listening to, sometimes God is calling, hey, my daughter, my son, come to me. And we're like, what? What was that? Someone say something? Nah, must not be anything. Right? God is reaching out for you. God is speaking to you. And you aren't listening to him. Right? The Bible says in Hebrews 3, 7 through 8, today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. That God today is reaching out for his lost sheep. Those that may have been offended, those that were hurt, those that strayed away for whatever the reason was, that you have distanced yourself, you have become like that hand with leprosy. The body can no longer feel it. They aren't feeling the pain because you're not allowing them to. You're coming to church and you're putting on a facade. I'm good. I'm straight. Right? You need to open up. You need to connect with the body. And maybe you've been hurt before. It's hard to trust. It's hard to trust when you've been hurt, right? But we need each other. You remember that? All those things that we need to connect, right? And in order for the body to feel your pain, you have to allow them to. And God is reaching out. No matter what the reason is, he's saying today, my lost sheep, hear my voice and harden not your heart. Because the sheep, remember, like, let's go back. Let's go back and let's turn on our imagination, and now we are that lost sheep that has wandered astray for whatever the reason, and all of a sudden we find ourselves separated from the flock, separated from our shepherd. What does that feel like? I'm lost. I'm alone. I have no way to protect myself. And all around me are predators that are lurking to kill me at any moment, and I have this really intense urge to run, but I don't know where to run to. But I just feel like I have to run because I'm so scared, I'm so terrified. I don't know who I can trust. And so I run. It's my instinct. I've just got to run, and every time I run, I get farther and farther away. And what's the first thing that the shepherd will do? Or that the shepherd would observe, right? Like he's looking, he's following the tracks. He's like, I see they went this way, but now they've come to this mountain and the rocks, and I can't find the trail. And he's calling, my sheep, my lost sheep, where are you? And the first thing that shepherd will hear is the bleating of that lost sheep in the distance. Ma, right? Ma. And he's like, there it is, there's my sheep. And he'll follow the sound until he finds his sheep and he'll put it on his shoulders. And what I ask of you today, allow the shepherd to find you. Ezekiel 34, 12 says that as a shepherd seeketh out his flock, in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I want to tell you today that if you are lost, if you feel like that lost sheep, that if you have strayed away from the flock, God is calling for you. He is seeking for you today. And he is saying, I need to hear you. I need you to call out to me. I'm listening. God is listening for the cry of his people today. And all you need to do is come. Come to him. Come to him today. In the day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Thank you, Jesus.